Hey, everybody. We've got some problems here starting up, and I had a good show for you tonight, but I've got all this other music coming in, and I don't know how I'm going to take care of it. We're going to check and see what we can do here. It's all electronic. Somebody made some changes here. So I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I can't go on with this music, so I'm going to turn it off. There, finally. Oh, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. Whoa, it has been some different changes made to the hookup here on StreamYard. And that drives me crazy when we have changes, especially unannounced changes. But anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change, right here on the Trim Radio Network. Sorry for the introduction there. Normally, it's a lot smoother than that. But we'll get this all taken care of because we've just done one other thing. We have added Rumble to the list of stations that we have. Okay? So you can get us on Instagram. You can get us on Rumble. You can get us on YouTube and a few other places. Okay? So before we get going, I have to do a disclaimer. The information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Whew. Anyhow, we've got some shout-outs to do, and a big shout-out goes to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. And we really appreciate everything that they do for us. Also, we have the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Trust me, it's a good school. NCAA Division II sports, but primarily, it's a very good educational school. Okay? You can get your bachelor's, your master's, or your doctoral degrees there. The school is located in Findlay, Ohio. And they have three campuses in Findlay, and the other one is in Bluffton, because Bluffton merged with the University of Findlay. So that's what's going on there, and it's a very good school, trust me. There's a Mary Mulcahy that's on the women's golf team that was rated number three in the country. Good golfer. And they have a lot of other people in sports at the University of Findlay, and they do a very good job there. But their primary goal is educating people for meaningful lives and productive careers, okay? Check them out, the University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. Also, you want to check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. And I'll eventually have a lot more pictures of Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks hopefully this next week, and they'll be posted, and you can see all the wonderful work that he does. So if you need a presentation pen for your business, for your customers, for your school, university, college, whatever, trade school, for a fraternity or sorority, doctor's office, whatever, I mean, check them out. Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, they're on Facebook. Also, you want to check out Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King, but that's been changed. It's now Pecan Grove. They didn't change the name of the place where they're doing the videos. They just moved everything, and now they're doing everything at Pecan Grove. And it's a lot like the old Deep South Homestead, except they've got some new things going on, so you want to check them out. Also, check out David Kobler at Southern Prepper One. On YouTube, you have to check him out. I've known Dave for a long time, and he tells it like it is. And he's been talking about the economy and some of the flood damage and so forth up in North Carolina. in Tennessee and so forth. You want to check him out. Also, there's Patriot Nurse with Rachel, and she talks a lot about different types of things as far as tinctures and herbal medicines and so forth, alternative things. And she's a nurse with quite a lot of experience, but she's also presenting a lot of alternative things. Very, very smart lady, I'll tell you that. Also, we have Prepper Nurse One with Ed Carswell. We have Prepper Princess with Amber Stork. Sometimes I don't know if you want to rent any property. She just had a property that was where a renter kind of trashed the place and set fire to it. Yeah, and she was cleaning up after the mess. You better vet all of your people that are renting from you if you're renting properties, because she's gotten taken to the cleaners. I'll put it that way. Check her out, Amber Stork at Prepper Princess. Also, LDS Prepper with Dave Gilmore. And he's had over 600 YouTube videos. And, you know, I always talk about it. He always likes to get people involved in things. And he got me involved in the GMRS radios. $35 gets you a 10-year license. Anybody in the family can use the radio, as long as they behave, okay? This is an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. It's a good radio. I can get out 35 miles from my location. Then I can get to a repeater, and from that repeater, I can go approximately another 90 miles, okay? Good to have when the phones go down and you're not a ham radio operator and you want to be able to communicate with people, okay? It's a good thing. Okay, so much for that. Also, check out the Max on YouTube, and he's been talking a lot about the election and everything else. Whoa, we've got that done, but we have to get into the meat of the matter because I've got a lot of stuff to cover today, a lot. And, you know, I got to give a little promo here for the Trim Radio Network, and let me get that up on the screen because you need to see some of our shows. And again, I have to find the button. The button. Where's the button? I had everything set. And then we got the changes. Well, anyhow, guys, the Trim Radio Network, you want to check us out. Because we have Adventure Waits Around the Bend. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck. We have Life Walk with Christ God, and that's with Michael Bejas. We also have Money and Change every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. We have Offsides College Football Top 25. We have Take Point 22 Radio Show with Michael Bejas. We have My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever every Wednesday, and we are live for that one. And we talk about anything. It's a fun time. Lately, I've been doing a lot on different comedians and things going on in some of the past shows and so forth. And there's a lot of humor out there that isn't there today, okay? And so that's why we do this show. Also, we have Victoria Smith with the Natural Marketer podcast. You want to learn about marketing your business, really marketing anything, check with Victoria at Natural Marketer podcast. We also have the Positude podcast. And we also have Rascala's Red Pill Reality Show. Now, I'll tell you what, I was on there last night, and the reason why I was on there, we were talking about the election, and we had six of us on the show, and we were talking about different things. And my specialty was basically in the business end, okay? And we talked about a lot of different things. It was a good show. I had fun doing it. Well, there's also one thing you can do here. If you want to do your own show on the Trim Radio Network, all you have to do is click this little box here that says, "Hi there, thanks for visiting the Trim Radio Show. How can I help you today?" So you click on that, and another box comes up. You put your name in, your phone number, and don't forget your area code. Okay, you got to have that. And you put your message like, "Hi, I want to do my own show on the Trim Radio Network. Could you please contact me? Here's my email address and so forth, and you hit send. And when you hit send, you get an automatic reply that comes back to you, and somebody will contact you. Okay? That's all it is. And then, of course, we use StreamYard, and we always have that going on, and it's a good thing. Now, to support us, gee, what do you do there? Well, to support things, it's easy. We have Laser Technologies International Incorporated, emergency printer repair, and so forth. You want to check them out. But if you want to really support us, you can also, if you don't want to advertise, you can contribute. And you can be a VIP member. Or you can shop our merchandise. And you click the Shop Now button. And there we go. We have Take It All 15 mouse pads. We have the Red Pill Reality Show Black Mug. We have the Radio Bull Unisex Jersey Long Sleeve Tee. Okay. We also have the Trim Radio Network Duffel Bag. We have the VIP membership. We have the Red Pill Reality Show New Blend Hooded Sweatshirt. Okay, we've got women's tank tops, mouse pads, sweatshirts, and morphing mugs. So you buy the material or the merchandise, and then you just get your merchandise and enjoy it. And what you can do is very simple. Buy the merch, and the money that we get from buying the merchandise goes directly into buying airtime. We don't get paid for doing the show, okay? None of us get paid for doing the shows. We have fun doing them. And we cut the bull and we serve the truth, and that's the way it is, okay? So check out the Trim Radio Network. Wow. What are we doing on Facebook? Oh, yeah, we have a Facebook page for Money and Change. And the Facebook page that we have is updated every so many days, sometimes 2-3 times a day, sometimes a couple times a week. It depends on what information is out there, okay? So if we take a look at it on Facebook, here we go. You can see our page and a lot of information's there. And we talk about, are you financially prep, the collapse has begun. You have to listen to this one because they talk about all kinds of restaurants that are going out of business or reducing size. Business likes to call it right sizing. It means, oops, we goofed in marketing and we have way too many locations. And the ones that aren't making a profit, well, we just have to take the hit on those. Okay, also, there are other things there. All I have to do is get to the, there. It changed on me. There we go. And here you can see some of our friends there. We got 147 members that stop in and watch the show from time to time. And we also post a lot of things to join us. And a lot of different things get posted there. Breaking news, we have that. We have other things about what's going on. You can just go to our Facebook page, and that's all you have to do. It's Facebook, okay? Money and Change, and check us out, okay? Money and Change / Financially Prepped. Okay, so we've got that one gone. Well, we've got to get into the show. So, you know, one thing I was reading today was kind of interesting. J.G. Martinez of the Organic Prepper blog said early warning signs of an economic and social collapse. I thought after Trump got elected, there would be some craziness going on. I'll put it that way. And I was really skeptical on election night. I didn't know who was going to get what, okay? And I was wondering about that. And I thought, gee, what's going on here? And the next morning I woke up and it said, well, Trump had won. and it was a fairly wide margin there. And people were saying, oh, people are going to riot in the streets and do this, that, and the other, and all this damage is going to be done. And I'm thinking, well, the guy hasn't taken office yet. You don't know what he's going to do when he is in office, because the guy that was in office before him didn't do much. Okay. And we had high inflation. And with Trump as a business person, I think he knows business enough to make money and save money and economize. And I think that's what's going to happen. But I think some people decided to really, you know, go off the deep end on this one. Well, anyhow, as the article said, a total economic and social collapse is catastrophic events, or is a catastrophic event characterized by widespread dysfunction of critical systems, including government. Well, we know that's dysfunctional. The economy. Yeah, it's not doing too good. Infrastructure, like roads and bridges and things like that. Yeah. Basic services, and you have to take a look at the early warning signs, okay? And he went through and he said on economic indicators, there's hyperinflation. Well, we haven't had hyperinflation yet, but it could happen. And that's an uncontrolled inflation that rapidly erodes the value of the currency. Well, under the past administration, or even, well, you could say present now, because it will be passed in by the end of January. But anyhow, you have uncontrolled inflation, and that's what we've had, a lot of uncontrolled inflation. And they say, well, the CPI isn't what it is. Sure, because they didn't include food and gasoline. Had they included those, the CPI would have been a lot worse. Okay? They're just playing with numbers is all they're doing. And you take a look at it, and you got commodity shortages, severe shortages of essential goods like food, water, and fuel. Look at the price of fuel. You know, a few weeks ago, it was $3.39 for regular fuel. And now it was down to $2.78. Well, it could be a lot lower. But you're not doing the drilling and using the oil sands and so forth that the United States has. You're buying it abroad. And you got higher costs there. And it's known that we have a lot more oil reserves in Canada and in the U.S. compared to a lot of countries, okay? So you have that going on. And at the present moment, it says supermarkets are overflowing with all kinds of products. Of course, getting the money to buy them is the hard part, and most of them come from Brazil for the sake of money laundering schemes related to gold and the fees charged by the concessions of the narcotics traffic. Mm-hmm. We've got mass unemployment. Well, we don't have mass unemployment yet, but if the economy collapses, we're going to have mass unemployment. We could have Depression 2.0. Okay. And people are shipping jobs overseas, and that's not a good thing. Or they're automating and canceling jobs and putting people out of work. You've got a recession / depression that can lead to recession, a depression, depending on the severity and duration of the unemployment. Jobs are being laid off in a lot of businesses. Volkswagen was laying off. You have your restaurants closing. You know, a lot of big restaurants were closing. They said, well, we're going to build new ones, which means their site managers really messed up on their site selection for the ones they have. And then we have a franchisee here in Ohio by the name of Frisch's, where the franchisee defaulted on several restaurants by not paying the rent. Well, why? Well, they can blame it on COVID. They can blame it on a lot of things. How about raising the wages? Okay, everybody said that's good. Well, if you raise the wages, you have to compensate with raising the cost of the products produced. So we had that to look for. Uptick in property crime. Have you had a lot of crime in your area? I know where I live, we're relatively crime-free. I live in Western Ohio, north of Dayton, Ohio, and some of the crime that occurs in Dayton kind of spills over to where we live. But sometimes you get car theft. Sometimes you get other types of damage, okay? So there's uptick in property crime, and you can see that in Cincinnati. You can see that in Dayton. You can see it in Cleveland, Toledo, even Columbus. Unsustainable debt. You know, our national debt exceeds a country's capacity to repay it. Right now, we're about $35 trillion in debt. Matter of fact, I'm going to check that for you real quick here. I'm going to stop this, and I'm going to go ahead and open up. I have to go back to those buttons again. To get to the national debt, I've got to move things around a little bit. Here we go. And there's your national debt at $35 trillion. Last week, it was $34 trillion something. Now it's $35,988,142,000,000 and flying. So the debt per citizen is $106,571, and the debt per taxpayer is $272,821. Do I have that? No. Do you have that? Probably, definitely not. The government needs to stop spending. That's a given. Check out the usdebtclock.org. Do that. And you'll see something in the center of the screen, and you have to go over here to the right-hand side where it says open or close the secret window. Well, I want to take a look at the debt. And then you look at the income that's coming in. We're only taking in tax revenue, $5,032,399,000,000 and climbing. Okay? We're taking in, but we're spending a lot more than what we're taking in. If you were doing it on your budget, what would happen to you if you were spending more than you were making? You would go into debt. You would owe a lot of people some money, and you would end up going into bankruptcy, which means you don't have credit for 7 years. Gee, the federal government should probably consider bankruptcy the way that they're going. Actually, they need to stop spending. They're spending like drunken sailors. Only drunken sailors know when to stop because they run out of money. Okay? Wow. So we have that going on. A lot of different things are happening out there. Nobody's watching their budget. I always talk about doing different things, and I always like to do, well, I like to look at inflation and what things are going to do. And there was a video here, and they're talking about Disney earnings, CPI, Yahoo Finance, Invest, you know, what to watch. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you.
Time now for what to watch next week. First off, the bond markets will be closed on Monday in observance of Veterans Day. And moving on to the earnings front, some heavy hitters reporting next week, including Disney, Home Depot, and Cisco. Disney announced the results for the fourth quarter on Thursday. Analysts expecting a downdraft at Disney theme parks, but streaming profits to rise following price hikes. Taking a look at the economy, we're going to be getting a big batch of economic data next week. First up, CPI, that's the Consumer Price Index. New monthly data for October coming out on Wednesday morning. Economists forecasting those numbers to hold steady, with core CPI at 0.3% and overall CPI at 0.2%. We're also going to be getting a new producer price index numbers for October on Thursday. Those numbers expected to both tick up to 0.2%. And finally, October U.S. retail sales data coming out on Friday. Economists expecting sales to slow to 0.3%, giving us more insight into the state of the consumer. And don't forget, on Tuesday, it is the Yahoo Finance Invest Conference. We've got some of the biggest names in business, from Bank of America's Brian Moynihan to IBM's Arvind Krishna. You won't want to miss it. Coverage starts at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah, 8:30. Okay. You know, things are slowing down. Christmas is coming. People are saying, I don't have money for Christmas. What am I going to do? Gee. Big Lots is closing a bunch of stores. Maybe other chains are doing the same thing. What am I going to do? I've got mouths to feed. I'm not making that much money. It's time to economize, everybody. You have to economize. And like I've always said, pay down your debt. Try to pay it off as quickly as you can. And don't go back into debt. Don't keep putting food on a credit card and then just paying on the minimum payment. It's not going to work. Okay, you want to pay that down. Put some money aside. I don't care if it's $5 a week, $10 a week, or $100 a week. Put it away in a savings account and make an emergency fund. So if you need something repaired, you go to the emergency fund and you can pay for it. Okay? What happens if your car breaks down and you don't have any funds to fix it? Oh, then you got to use the credit card. Then you're going to end up paying interest on everything because you just got a $700 bill to fix a what's it on your car. So build up your nest egg, your safety net. Okay, we'll call it that. Putting some money aside. Living simply. Don't go out and live extravagantly. Live as simply as you can. You put your money aside, you live simply, you go ahead and you buy long-term food. And you could buy freeze-dried food, you could buy MREs, meals ready to eat, they're a little expensive. Or you could buy canned goods. You know, you can go to Walmart, better known as Wally World around here, and you can go in and they have boxes of canned vegetables. And as long as the can's not bulging or it's dented, perfectly good. You can go up to, for example, I went up to Keystone Meats and I bought a lot of canned meat. It's in Lima, Ohio. It's off of 309 going east. And it's about, 2.5 miles from the interstate. Nice people. Great canned meats. They also have fresh cut meats too. And they had some beautiful steaks. Very beautiful steaks. Okay. So you pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food. Okay. Be able to preserve and store water. At least 2 gallons per person per day. They used to say 1 gallon, but it's actually 2. In some cases, 3. Well, you know, if you don't have room to store stuff, you could be at a disadvantage, okay? But you get water. You need water on hand, okay? Do you have your medications? You want to make sure you have those. How about vitamins? You should have at least multivitamins in the house. Okay, at least multivitamins. Make sure that you have the suitable clothing for the season you're in. Right now, Ohio is going into winter. It's the fall season, and it's going to start getting colder. And right now, we were, I believe, 64, 65 degrees. And you go down farther south, down to Florida, they might be 85 degrees down there. But you dress for the weather, okay? Make sure that you have those blue tarps that you can get, because you can use those to make a shelter if need be, or patch your roof. And they come in handy. They're not that expensive. Matter of fact, I have three of them. Maybe I ought to buy a couple extras too. They come in handy for different things. Okay. But prep. And like somebody said on the Red Pill reality show, I looked in the notes, and it was prep, pray, and stay out of the way. So, you know, hopefully everything goes smoothly when the new government takes effect, okay, in January. Hopefully that starts to correct a lot of the things that have happened over the last 4 years. But we'll have to wait and see, okay? What's next on the agenda? Oh, Warren Buffett. Yeah, Warren Buffett. You know, this guy has a way of making a lot of money. He has a knack of doing that. And I looked at what he's done. And today there was an article in The Motley Fool. And here it is on the screen. Warren Buffett's forecast proved incorrect. And it's cost him $21 billion over the last year. Well, he had a partner that passed away. And I think the partner was the one that made some of the wise calls. I'm not saying that Warren is dumb. He isn't. He's very smart, very shrewd. But according to the article, when the investing great Warren Buffett speaks, Wall Street wisely listens, because he's made a lot of money over the years. And he said nearly doubling the average annual return, including dividends paid, of the Standard & Poor's 500 is bound to get you noticed by the investing community. And this is why so many investment wait on the edge of their seats for Berkshire quarterly filed Form 13F, which lays out which stocks the Oracle of Omaha, better known as Warren Buffett, and his top advisors, Todd Combs and Ted Weschler, purchased and sold in the latest quarter. Okay. Well, there's some problems. He missed out on billions of dollars in future gains in Walt Disney. He was swinging and missing on media giant Paramount Global, dumping Berkshire's previous sizable stocks in Wells Fargo following its checking account scandal, and taking $444 million of a loss on grocery chain Tesco. Now, Tesco is in England and Europe, okay? And it's a pretty big stores chain over there. Now, while Buffett's list of successful calls is a mile long, Election Day cemented one of his recent forecasts as incorrect, and it's cost him a lot of money, okay? And they were going into the NASDAQ composite and everything, and as far as the Oval Office and stuff. And I don't think it was basically Trump winning everything. But I think he made some wagers that were costly. He had 10,382 shares of Apple in fourth quarter of 2023. Then he took it down to, he had 161,000 plus shares of Apple in the first quarter of 2024. And then he got more shares of Apple. Then he started selling things off. He's buying and selling things. He's putting everything into cash because he didn't know what everything was going to bring after the election. He's very cautious on that. I don't blame him. I wouldn't be investing any money until after I knew how the election went and how things were going to transpire as far as stocks, okay? And that's just the way I look at it. I think he's a very smart man. And so what if he loses $444 million? He'll gain it back. He knows how to make money. And those are the type of people that you watch. You don't watch a bunch of losers because they don't hit it, okay? So a lot of things to consider there. But Warren Buffett knows his stuff. And he just happened to have some losers. Well, hey, let's take a look at what Trump is going to propose for his plan, because that's the important thing. You have to look at what Trump is going to propose. Will he get it all done? I don't know, but here's what he said in part the night of this whole thing going down, okay? He wants to make tax cuts, and some parts of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Job Act, one of Trump's signature achievements during the time in the White House, are scheduled to lapse around the end of 2025, so he wants to bring that back in. And the Democrats are saying, well, it disproportionately benefits the wealthy. There's a cap on state and local tax deductions. And the top corporate tax rate is 35%. He wants to reduce it down to 21%. I'll tell you what, I would reduce the corporate tax because when you do that, businesses can expand. And since they had a 35% tax, they didn't do anything. And that's why we ended up with the economy shrinking. The Democrats don't understand that for some reason. Maybe they need another class in economics. Well, he also wants to help the middle class, and he said he would temporarily cap credit card interest rates at around 10%, which is less than half the current rate, because right now they're, what, 21% in some cases? And Trump promised to make the interest paid on car loans fully tax deductible. Why not? You're going to pay it out, might as well make it tax deductible. Give a tax credit for family caregivers. So if you had at-home care and you had a relative that you were taking care of, let's say your grandmother got sick and you moved her in with you and you were taking care of her, you ought to have a deduction for that. Just make sure you have the receipts to prove what you had. He wants to boost tariffs and trade. And he was looking at across-the-board tariff of either 10% or 20% on every import coming into the U.S. So if your business moved over to China or another country, there'd be a tariff on there. He's trying to get you to put your production facilities back in the States. Bring everything back to the U.S. Put people into jobs. That's a good thing, okay? And what he was saying at one point, he was looking at a 100% or 200% tariff on cars made in Mexico or other products made by companies that move manufacturing to Mexico. He wants to keep it into the U.S. He wants to renegotiate agreements. He also wants to cut prices. And the former president repeatedly blasted the Biden-Harris administration for the surge in prices in recent years. He has promised to reverse course and lower the prices of gas, which he did. It was low when he was in. Groceries, which were a lot lower, and other essentials, even though he hasn't provided details on how he's going to accomplish it. Well, these are his ideas, and the details will come later. And he wants to limit the effect of prices at the pump. He wants to make housing more affordable. And you take a look at what you have to have on your house. You have to have a 20% down. And then, of course, you've got your realtor fees, which you have to now negotiate. You've got other things involved, and the cost of homes are up. He wants to have affordable housing. And somebody said, oh, I can rent an apartment or a townhouse for $1,600 a month. Well, how much do you make a month? 18. Gee, that only leaves you $200 for utilities, food, water, gasoline for transportation. That's not being affordable, is it? So he wants to see if he can lower the mortgage rates. He wants to be able to invest in businesses. Okay, the former president has said that his plans to increase tariffs and cut corporate tax rate will result in a boom in American manufacturing, and it will over time. Make healthcare more affordable. Now, this is one that kind of hits me. You know, I had to have some dental work done. I have dental insurance. And the dental insurance company said, well, we're only going to pay $290. Well, the dentist had to settle for that amount. I still ended up having to pay for a lot of it. And healthcare isn't exactly affordable. Even though I've got a very good plan, and my medications, some medications don't cost me at all. Some are minimal. Every doctor visit I go to is usually a $5 copay. Or if I go to a specialist, it's a $40 copay. But I can reimburse myself by turning it into the insurance company and they pay me back. But for a lot of people, healthcare isn't affordable. And so he wants to be able to do that. And I don't blame him. Healthcare needs to be affordable. You know, in some countries, you pay a lot to live there. You pay higher taxes. But in a lot of cases, in Germany, for example, if you need to take an ambulance to the hospital, it's free. There's no charge. And if you go to the hospital, you get reduced rates. Of course, it's socialized medicine. But everybody has to pay into the system. It can be very expensive. I was following somebody that went to Russia, and their cost is reduced. Of course, he's not a citizen over there. And he was talking about having his gallbladder removed. And the care was very nice. The facility he was in wasn't all that new, but the care was very good. And he was going back to his homestead in Russia that he's building. So healthcare can be expensive. It depends on the country and the way it's set up. Socialism is not the cure-all for all the ills because somebody has to pay for it. And that's the taxes, okay? But that's what he wants to do. Now, here's an analyst viewpoint. And let's see if I can get back to that. Like, I have to stop this one. And we've got to get to the analyst because I've got some videos on that and they talk about it a little bit more. And here we go.
Has proposed cutting taxes, hiking tariffs, and reducing red tape to boost the economy. Stephanie Roth is the chief economist at Wolf Research here in New York. She joins us to share her thoughts. Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. What do you think a second Trump presidency would mean for the economy?
Yeah, so the market is certainly pricing in a big growth boost as a result. We're a little bit more cautious than that. So there are certainly some positive benefits from an economic perspective. There would be less regulation, as you noted, but there are some negatives. Higher tariffs is a big one. Higher tariffs are a tax on the U.S. consumer, and that would be a negative in the stagflationary type of growth where you see higher inflation and lower economic growth as a result. We expect them to be later in 2025. So for much of next year, we might not see a big part of the impact, but that's a big one. And then the last one is he'll probably crack down on immigration, which could put a little bit of upward pressure on inflation because we'll have fewer supply of workers and still steady demand.
And which sectors would benefit and which might struggle under a Trump presidency?
So the sectors that could benefit could be industrials, financials. Those two stand out in particular, partially on the financial side because of the less red tape. And on the industrial side, he's likely to be supportive of CapEx spending, perhaps a little bit of tax cuts. So generally speaking, industrials tend to do well in that environment. There's also a little bit of animal spirits where people seem to be feeling good about the economy, which lends companies to want to do a little bit more investment. And then for those that might lose, it certainly could be those that rely on interest rates. So from a stock market perspective, you're seeing utilities tend to underperform in a big way, staples as well. And then, of course, those that need to import a lot of goods from China, that's going to be a big headwind for those companies. So we expect to see outperformance of domestically focused companies versus those that rely on importing a lot of goods from outside of the U.S.
And you mentioned tariffs earlier. How do you think tariffs would impact other economies, particularly those in Asia?
So China's likely to be the big loser here because Trump has been proposing the 60% tariffs on China, which is really significant. That's about 50 percentage points higher than the current average effective tariff rate. So the average rate on tariffs on goods from China is about 10%. So that would raise it up to 60%, which is pretty big. What we'll likely see is a sort of shift in terms of supply chain, which is what we saw after Trump's first trade war, where a lot of goods that we imported from China, we imported a lot less, and then we imported a lot more goods from other countries like Vietnam, and we would expect to see a lot of the same. So China would probably be a negative impact from that perspective, but you could see other countries in Asia benefit because we would likely shift production there because it is expensive to produce a lot of those goods here. So it's likely we'll have to, be sort of offshoring to other countries rather than China.
And Trump could also return to the White House with the Republicans in charge of both the Senate and the House. How would that affect his economic agenda?
Yeah, so the big one is on the TCJA, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that he put in place in 2017. That comes due at the end of 2025. So if he has full control of Congress, then he will likely do a full extension of TCJA, really meaning, and this is tax cuts on the individual side, so household tax cuts. So we'll likely see a full extension of that. If he has divided government, it's possible they'll carve out the upper income earners, so those making over 400,000, in which case those folks would see a tax increase. That's probably one of the biggest standouts. Otherwise, it might just be a little bit more difficult to get things done. That said, the way it's looking, it's fairly likely that Trump is going to end up with a sweep, in which case he has full control over Congress.
We'll have to see how it pans out. Thank you very much for helping us see through all this.
Well, now you've heard that part. And oh, these buttons, I hit the wrong button, and oh, what does that do? That messes things up when you hit the wrong button in this place. Well, anyhow, guys, there's so much going on, and there's a lot of conjecture as to what is going to happen with the economy. Things are going to get better, but we may have some difficulties to begin with to start out. You know what I mean? The inflation's there, the supply chain problems. People just have to learn about economics, and it's one of those things you have to have people basically in power that know business, know how to make money, that know how to increase business. And to do that, you have to not raise taxes, you need to lower taxes, not only on corporate taxes, because when you lower corporate taxes, they can hire more people and they can also expand their manufacturing. Okay. You can do that. There's just a lot of things that we have to consider and let Trump try. He may not be able to get everything done. But if what he suggests that we do improves everything and makes groceries affordable again, makes gasoline affordable again, makes housing affordable again, then he's done something very good. Okay? So, everybody, you know, we have like 6 minutes to go, and I'm trying to see, there's some stuff I need to bring up about freight, the cost of freight and everything. I was going to do that tonight, and I thought, well, let's see if I can do that, because with freight, they're saying the recession is officially over, and here's a video of it. I don't know if we have time. We'll try it, okay? And we'll see what happens. This was on Zero Hedge, and this is through FWTV.
Welcome to the special report of Freight Waves Now. I'm Craig Fuller here with Zach Strickland. This is an important day, breaking news. I'm here to declare the death and the end of the Great Freight Recession. Don't rest in peace, by the way. Have a miserable time in hell. That's where you deserve to go. It has been miserable for all of us. It deserves to be haunted for eternity because it has been a miserable freight market. So I got to say, this is the end of the freight recession. I'm happy to declare it, Zach. Let's talk about why that's the case.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the freight recession, for those of you that aren't familiar, the uninitiated, you don't know that the transportation sector has been operating relatively independent of the overall economy. It's been in a very depressed state. Rates have been down. Carriers have been losing money. The operators in the space have been losing a lot of money. And I think the important thing to note here is that, you know, this environment has been one of the longest and deepest that I can personally remember. I can't speak to the pre-regulation era.
So many people have talked about, you know, executives. We saw Heartland's report that came out a few weeks ago, where Mike Jardine actually just said it was the worst freight recession in his 45-year history. We've seen, I think, multiple people have talked about how this has gone on for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It's been even more so than 2.5 years. It's gone on for a long time. Freight cycles, typically, when you have freight recessions, 6 months, 9 months is sort of a typical down slope of that market in terms of pretty challenging conditions. This one's going on a lot longer. Let's go to actually talk about why we are declaring the Great Freight Recession dead. Let's pull these charts up.
Yeah, let's pull up the first one here, which is going to be our tender rejection index. And this, of course, I like the tender rejections. For those of you that don't know, this is the rate at which carriers are turning down requested load coverage from shippers. So these are their contracted accounts. Carriers do not like to say no to their contracted accounts unless they have to or have some other option that financially pushes them in that direction. And so when the rejection rates are below about 5 to 6%, and this is kind of a defining characteristic of a freight recession, when they're below about 5 to 6% on average in national level, that is a very deflationary place. Carriers compete with each other. This is a very fragmented industry where there's thousands of carriers competing for the business. And when they have to compete with each other, that pushes rates down and they will haul loads that lose money operationally.
Well, I think let's talk a little bit about what a freight recession is, just to back up for those that may not be aware of what the definition, or at least how we would describe it. It's when you have too much capacity in the market relative to demand. That's at the end of the day what happens.
Exactly.
And what happened over the last couple of years, we've talked about this extensively, is there's been an expansionary cycle in capacity, and that really happened all the way through really the early days of COVID, all the way until really 2023. And we've seen the market reset. But let's talk specifically about the data, because I think this is really important. So what we see here are 2 years. The blue chart right here, the blue section, is 2024's tender rejection. And remember, this is out of 100% of truckloads of whether a shipper is rejecting the loads or not.
Well, guys, that's all we have for this week's show. We would have had a couple extra minutes, but we had some problems at the beginning, so we're going to have to get those ironed out. Anyhow, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to cover next week, and we'll see where we're at as far as the Trump agenda and how things are working out, and whether or not we're going to have a good Christmas or not. Okay. Hey, Thanksgiving's coming up. Celebrate the season and the reason. And we'll talk to you next week on Money and Change. And check out Wednesday with My World. I might have some more economic news. You might want to check us out, My World, at 8 o'clock on Wednesdays. Okay. And with that, guys, that's all I've got. And I'll pick some different music here. Let's just see what we have. If I can find one, let's see. Here we go. Not bad, but it's not my intro and not my exit. Okay, guys, you have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday, okay? Pray, stay out of the way, okay? Talk to you.